Welcome to episode 43 of the Serious About Security podcast for June 10th, 2013, brought to you by the Center for Education and Research in Information Assurance and Security, or Sirius at Purdue University. I'm Preston Wiley, and this week I'm joined by Mike Hill and Keith Watson. And this week we have Mike's article.
Thank you, Preston. Well, there's been a lot of noise in the media the last few days about Verizon phone records, and that the National Security Agency has been having access to all the phone records, and that Verizon must turn that over. So the Obama administration has been defending that, and it's actually linked to a larger program called PRISM, which stands for the Planning Tool for Resource Integration, Synchronization, and Management. And in a similar article, the Washington Post implied that several companies are involved in sharing information with the NSA, which includes companies such as Google, Facebook, Microsoft, and Apple. Now, all of those companies have denied that they're providing any type of access to the NSA, that there are no back doors to their servers, there's no direct connection, and that they only share data with the government when they're subpoenaed, when they're provided with the appropriate paperwork, and they only share information that is relevant to that investigation. So there's been a lot of, I guess you'd say, controversy surrounding this issue as far as what information is being shared with the NSA. And considering that the NSA's mission is to kind of focus on foreign targets and terrorism, why are they looking at all this U.S. data to begin with? So I thought this would be a really interesting article for us to discuss today, and probably one that we could easily spend 20 minutes discussing.
Easily. Yeah, there's been this uneasy recognition that the internet, being as great as it is and a tool for opening countries and creating democracy, is being turned against us to monitor what we do. And so there's always been this underlying concern that we put too much information out there on the internet, and somebody like the NSA is going to vacuum that up and use it. But I think it's rather interesting that we've spent a lot of time, or at least people in the United States have spent a lot of time, worrying about their government collecting information on them, and then the government trying to classify these techniques, when most of the terrorists, I think, seem to me, based on, say, Osama bin Laden, for example, he was very meticulous about how he communicated. And he didn't use the internet necessarily, and the few cell phones they discovered in his compound were burner phones, and they were not used for very long. So I think most of these terrorist organizations that the government claims they want to find are using operational security techniques to avoid being discovered by these programs. And yet, why is the government out here vacuuming up all this data, hoping to find something? It seems to me that if you're going to be getting all these phone records, there's a larger purpose in mind, and it's not clear that terrorism is the immediate concern for that.
Well, I was looking at the NSA's website, because this is specifically for the NSA, and it says their core missions are to protect U.S. national security systems and to produce foreign signals intelligence information. That's their mission, and I honestly don't understand how this accomplishes that goal, there, how it relates to their mission. But you know, again, we don't know complete details about what exactly they're doing, so I'm not sure.
Yeah, part of the problem is that a lot of what they do is classified. It's even classified, and that classification level is enforced by the executive branch. So even at our legislators, who we send to Washington to watch out for us, they may know information about what goes on, but they can't talk about it. And there's no way they can change that classification to start talking about it so we could have a real debate about these issues.
Well, one of the things that I think surprises me is that the NSA is involved. I mean, this is something you'd expect the FBI to be part of, you know, not the NSA. And so that surprises me more that the NSA is basically tapping U.S. companies and spying on U.S. citizens and things like that. I mean, obviously they do it as a guise to protecting the national security interests and foreign calls and things like that. But it seems to be a lot more than that. Something that you...
Well, sure. And if you look at the president's quote when asked about this, you know, the government is not listening to your telephone calls. And technically that is true. However, I think they've stretched the Fourth Amendment a little bit, which protects us against, unwarranted search and seizure, that sort of thing, into claiming that because a third party controls that information, that it's okay for the government to go and get it, whether it has a court order or not. I think the court order in the case of the Verizon collection is very broad. It says basically, I want to collect everything that you know on these calls made both within domestic, you know, within the United States and to outside the United States. I mean, it's clearly spelled out. It's not a very long read. So you can clearly see what the order says, and they want everything. So that seems a bit of a stretch, because traditionally those orders, court orders, have been of the variety that says, we'd like to access the information on this particular person at this particular phone number.
Well,
that doesn't seem to be the case anymore. It's more broad collection.
The direct quote that I saw from Obama was him specifically saying, nobody is listening to your phone calls, which could imply that they're being fed through a computer, because that would be nobody. That would be a computer. But, I mean, that's semantics, but it might be relevant, because politicians generally choose their words very, very carefully when they say things.
Yeah, I think this is a good example of that.
Well, and one of the things to also note is that they're also looking at 1 or 2 degrees of separation from a target. So it's not just the targets they're going after, but it's degrees of separation from that target. So if you just happen to clash in, have some sort of communication with someone who's considered maybe suspicious to the target for some whatever reason, you've got to connect, you know, your data may be getting looked at because you're connected in some roundabout way, in some, you know, minute way. You both visited the same website on the same day or something obscure causes a link to be there. So, I mean, to me, that kind of language says they could pretty much look at anything they want to anytime they want to, because you could always say, well, here's the justification. You know, we saw this link, even if it's a very weak link between the two parties.
Right.
Well, I'll make a parallel to something that has happened recently as well, and this wasn't a government thing, but the recently several internet providers essentially provided access to the to their networks. You could argue to the Recording Industry Artists Association and the Motion Picture Artists Association, and this was what has been called the Six Strikes Rule, and it is essentially was meant to streamline copyright violation requests, and it gives them and YouTube and various places has also provided essentially access to block things on their website to these organizations, this is creating a system for them to use, and the idea is to make their lives easier so they don't have to have as much overhead in dealing with these organizations, where they can essentially, the organizations can do what they want, and there's this honor system and all that. And you have to wonder if these big companies got so bogged down with government requests that they were willing to essentially give the government more access to their networks and their data just to prevent the overhead that was required to handle all the government requests that they were given.
Are these government requests or are these IP owner requests? Traditionally, they've been request made by an IP owner under the DMCA. Is that what you're talking about?
This is a parallel that I'm trying to say. I'm saying that the ISPs provided this access to the Recording Industry Artists Association to prevent overhead. Google, potentially, or a Yahoo or whatever, is providing this access to the government in order to reduce their overhead for government requests.
All right, well, let's back that up a little bit, because we have a lot of denials from these companies saying that we don't provide that access, that anything that the government sends to us comes as a legal request from a court order. So there's some evidence that the initial report was not true. We don't know one way or the other yet, certainly. I wouldn't necessarily go out and say, well, yeah, there was an initial report saying, oh, yeah, Apple, Facebook, Google, Microsoft, they're all conspiring with the government. We don't know that to be true. So far, everybody's denied that. And given the nature of a lot of these Silicon Valley companies, the mindset is we don't necessarily like the government, we tolerate them. And so I kind of doubt that story is completely factual. So,
well, this might be essentially a piece of software that gives the government quick access to data that they request. Also, that, you know, they say we want this, and Google may put it into a system, and then they have it. So it's very, very quick to get the information versus having to send them a document. They send stuff back. I mean, I know that in fighting these issues, and I'm not trying to justify things, but in fighting these issues, time can be of the essence, and getting this information as quickly as possible, especially if we're dealing with two people that are under suspicion talking to each other, knowing when they're talking and that a current conversation or internet connection is going on, could be time critical to actually do something with it. So this might be just a method of speeding up the delivery of this information.
Well, I have some question as to whether electronic surveillance is actually effective in catching bad guys. Because, one, the government doesn't talk about it, so we don't actually know if it's effective. And two, most of the domestic terrorism cases in the last 4 or 5 years have been people that have been caught not because of intelligence gathering, but because they were doing something stupid or good police work. We had a confidential informant who spilled his beans to the police and then brought that to the FBI's attention, who then set up a sting operation, who gathered evidence, and then eventually caught the guys trying to buy something they shouldn't, for example. You go look at several of the cases we've had recently, and that seems to be the case. So I question whether electronic surveillance, whether inside the U.S. or outside, is actually effective. And part of the problem is we don't know if it is because they won't talk about it. If it were not classified and they could say, you know what, we caught this guy and here's how we did it, we'd have more confidence in saying, oh, yeah, intelligence gathering through the internet, yeah, that works. We don't know that it does. They kind of say it does, and we have to believe them, and I don't believe them.
Well, I'll play devil's advocate here. Looking at the slides that the Washington Post put up, they look official enough, but, you know, they could have obviously been spoofed. But let's just say, for the sake of argument, that these organizations are participating. You know, Microsoft, Yahoo, Apple are participating in this. They're not going to come out and acknowledge it anyway. They're going to deny it. In fact, they may be under gag orders where they are forced to deny it, where they are instructed to always deny it. So, I mean, do you think we as a public are ever going to get any resolution on this? I don't think they're going to actually ever flat out and say that they are participating in this, you know, even if they are. And is there any way to really prove that they're not? You know, is there a way that this story unfolds where we know for sure they're not participating? I agree with many of your comments, Keith, where, yes, these Silicon Valley companies probably do not want to participate, but it seems like they could be put under enough pressure from the government, that the government is big enough and strong enough that they could really put them under pressure and make life very difficult for them if they don't play.
And I don't disagree, but the question is, should we have a government do that? I think in the United States, we don't believe that that's necessarily true. If the government does something for a good reason, it should provide evidence that, that what it's doing is actually effective and valuable. Now, the argument has been made that we can't do that, because if we do that, the terrorists are going to change their techniques. They're not going to be able to be as easily caught. That's the argument that comes up every time. My question goes back to, do you really think that terrorists today are on the internet using Google, Facebook, Apple to exchange information online? I don't think so. I think they're a little smarter than that.
Well, that's
so
true.
The question is, if that is true, I'm not saying it isn't, or it is, if that were true, then why is there a need to collect all this information from, let's say, Verizon? We'll assume it's others as well. Why is there a need to collect all this information when these terrorists already know that we're doing that? What's the value? I'm not sure they could argue, because they choose not to. That's part of the problem. They can't necessarily argue that that's a helpful way to do intelligence gathering, but they won't talk about it, so we don't know. My issue is, if this is actually effective, then we should have a public discussion about it. Now, they're going to say, no, we can't do that, because that'll get those terrorists. They'll know what we're doing. Yeah, I think they already do.
Well, I think there's plenty of tools around to be used by people that want to subvert surveillance. I mean, I don't think there's any question about that. And so I think if people wanted to subvert surveillance, there are tools out there to do it. There's private chat clients. There's Tor. There's other tools that are public knowledge and you know, us security researchers know about them and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's more likely that they're going to use those types of tools than they are cell phones. And even if they use cell phones, they're going to use burner phones. They might use them a day, a week at most. Throw them away, right? So why they're collecting this is not clear. Why they're collecting everything is not specific enough. There's a lot of problems here. But what I want to do now is, and we talked a little bit about what we know, what we don't know. If I'm an organization, a company, how likely is it that I should be concerned about this? Is this something that I should just accept and move on, or is it something that if I, let's say I'm a subsidiary to a foreign company operating in the United States and they're collecting data on all my employees, how is that information being used? And should that be something I should be worried about? What do you think about that?
Well, I think it comes, you know, one of the statements President Obama made that I thought was very interesting was he made the statement, you can't have 100% security and then also have 100% privacy. So aren't we to assume that a certain amount of privacy is kind of given up for the sake of security, or do we believe that we can accomplish both? You know, that they're not related to one another. So, I mean, is it fair to assume that there should never be cause for them to be looking at these records? And if they are, and you're within a certain separation of that target, I mean, if you just happen to work with someone who comes under a government investigation, is it reasonable then that your information is also being looked at? You know, would you say that's fair use? I mean, I think as businesses, you know, there's a certain amount of, you don't always know who you get, I guess. You know, you do your best to interview people and get the best people, but if someone comes under suspicion, you know, from the government and they start looking at people, wouldn't it be reasonable that they'd be looking at those around those people as well, that the colleagues, you know, is there following up a loose end? Or do you think that's completely unreasonable, that they can't look at those around, you know, those parties that surround the suspicious party? It seems kind of like fair use to me.
That's legitimate if it's done with a court order.
Yes. Yes. If done with a court order, yes. Yes.
And if the government can put together an argument that says, we believe that Mr. Watson here is a suspicious character because he communicates with somebody on the terrorist watch list, so we need to investigate him. And if the judge agreed, then that would be a legitimate request. However, if they just said, oh, because he got a phone call from a guy on the terrorist watch list, we are now going to monitor him because we believe that he just might be doing something. And we don't need a court order for that, because he just was he was called by this guy. So because he got that call, we're just going to start watching him. There has to be a clear, you know, evidence presented to a judge so he can make the call and say, yeah, go ahead, do it. Or, no, wait a minute, I don't see the connection. The guy made a call. It's the only call I ever made. It lasted 2 minutes, and they hung up. Is that enough evidence to continue watching this American citizen? I don't think so.
Well, I think the answer is no, but in that case, but I mean, the argument made by Obama and is trying to be bought by a lot of people is that if you were suspicious but not suspicious enough for a court order, being able to listen to your telephone conversations or whatever, it would create a higher sense of security because they could gather the evidence to get to the point of a court order more easily than without that surveillance, essentially.
That's the argument. That may be the argument. That's not what the FISA Act says, if my understanding is correct. Now, the Patriot Act changed a lot of that, so maybe. Nobody's read it, so it's hard to say.
I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it's legal, but that's the argument.
Well, true, and this goes back to my bigger point, is that we need to have a public discussion about this, and we need to go back to the Patriot Act and the FISA courts and say, you know what, I'm not sure I like the way this works. Here's all these cases where this isn't going to be good.
But how can we have that conversation, though, when we only find out about stuff if it gets leaked?
We can't have that conversation where everything's classified.
Absolutely. Right, and they're not going to declassify this stuff. They're going
to. Well, we need to force them to do that. But by having these leaks and having these discussions through investigative reporting, I mean, that's a good way to get started on it.
Well, do you think that anything's going to change that since this has been leaked? The Verizon order actually does expire in July, I believe,
and it'll be renewed the next day.
I think they're only good for like 3 months and they get renewed, but I believe they've been renewed for like the last 7 years.
Dude, they've already drafted the next request. I mean, this is not a big deal. It's going to show up on the judge's desk 2 days before, and he's going to sign it the next day, and it's enacted. So, yeah, are they going to continue? Of course they're going to continue. There's no reason to stop them. Just because it's news now for one court order? No. This has to be something that unfortunately, our Congress critters have to go and tackle a bit if they're willing to. Most of them aren't, so we can protest and complain, but who knows if anybody's listening.
Yeah, so really, there's a lot of uproar right now, but nothing's going to change. That's your prediction.
Pretty much.
Things will be the same. We'll be in the same state here in the next.
Yeah, we need another Frank Church Commission from 78 or 76, whenever that was. But that's not likely to happen, so, yeah.
Well, I have one more comment, and I'm not a lawyer, but obviously it seems to me like most of these things were not meant to be admissible in court, so following the law and legal principles and all that doesn't really matter. The idea is to put people on terrorist watch lists and put things on places where you don't really need a court involved to do things, and you can kind of skirt the law when you're dealing with things like that, and that doesn't seem quite kosher to me.
Yeah, well, they've expanded. The executive branch has expanded their view on the Fourth Amendment against unreasonable search and seizure to include the ability to gather a lot more information than they probably should. And most of the arguments they've made is because we are dealing with third parties where that third party has that information, therefore it's legal for the government to request it. That I believe was the argument used during the issue when all the telecommunication providers provided direct access to the NSA for their backbone networks. So we're not targeting an individual. We're not gathering information directly from them. We're gathering it through a third party, and therefore it's okay.
Okay, so things will just likely continue.
Most likely.
Most likely. And we'll continue not to know until there's whistleblowers or leaks. And there'll be uproar, and then things will continue.
That or the federal government will outsource its operations to Google. And the NSA will go away, and it'll be the Google will be an outreach of the NSA.
It'll just be a tab when you log into Google.
Pretty much. Manage your sharing with the NSA or something like that.
Say what you want to share and say what you won't. It doesn't matter. We'll just look.
Yeah, we get it all anyways.
We get it all anyway. But tell us what you don't want to share, so
we can watch that more closely.
We can watch that more closely and make it easier for us.
All right. Well, any other comments or?
No, we better wrap this one up before the FBI start knocking at the door.
All right. Well, we are on Google, and they were on that list, right? So.
Yes,
know.
We should say agree to hearty hello to all our NSA listeners right now. I used to do that at the company I used to work with when we called everybody in the Europe. So, say hello, everybody, including the NSA listening.
All right. Well, thanks to Keith Watson and Mike Hill. I'm Preston Wiley. Have a safe and secure day.